John chapter 6 tonight. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. Gospel of John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15 tonight. Verse 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men all sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained, over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force, to make him a king, he departed again unto a mountain, himself alone. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pause for a moment. Father, I ask tonight that as we look at these verses of Scripture in these next few minutes, Lord, your timing is always spot on. Your timing is always exactly, Lord, what we need to hear. Lord, all that's going on in our lives tonight, we think about the storm, we think about, Lord, things that are going to be disrupted, and Father, it can just cause us to be overwhelmed. I pray that tonight, Lord, as we look into your word, that we'd see just how Jesus handled it and what we can do with him. Lord, it's a simple, simple truth. Tonight we'll examine that. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Chapter 6 takes us back to Galilee. But I want to share something with you. How many of you know what a harmony of the Gospels is? Most of you have them in your Bible. The harmony of the Gospels is simply, it's and you can buy them. I've got one in the back of my Bible. I've got a Thompson Chain reference. But in the back of it, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And wherever they are talking about the same thing, they'll have the scripture text all lined up right across. Well, when you come to John chapter 5, we leave off with the man of the pool of Bethesda. And John doesn't pick up again until after the death of John the Baptist. And so if you look at it in harmony of the gospel, and even though I've just read John chapter 6, it says, and after these things, there's a whole year missing of all the things that Jesus was doing. John doesn't record those. John has one purpose. He's trying to prove that Jesus was the Son of God, his divinity. But let me give you some ideas of some of the things that you'll not find in the Gospels. You have to go back to the synoptics. That's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the word synoptics means they're all on the same page. They have the same material in it. John is kind of over by himself. How about there's 12 parables that are written in the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that are not found in the Gospel of John. 12 parables. You say, wow, that's a lot. Yeah. There is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That's not included in John's Gospel. Just let me find some other things that's not in there. You've got the different discourses, the widow's son raised to life, John the Baptist's delegation, the 12 men being ordained, when he called them, the healing of the withered hand, his discourse on the Sabbath, all of these things, and a good harmonies of the gospel, it'll tell you these things. But I'm saying ought to say this, that when we come It's amazing, when we leave chapter 5, verse 47, Jesus is talking, and then when we get down to chapter 6, verse 1, it says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And you think, okay, well, he's just moving about. Well, there's a space in there, there's a block in there, there's a year of things happening. And don't forget, when you get over, I believe it's chapter 20, verse 30 of John's Gospel, it says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. That's John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. So they're in Galilee. His disciples have gone out. He sent them out two by two. There were 70 of them. They've come back, and he's kind of got them down to the 12 now. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, you remember how many fragments were taken up, and how many baskets did it fill? I'm giving you all this on the front end. 12. Well, there's 12 disciples, and Jesus is trying to teach these guys a very simple thing. And I'm going to give it to you in a nutshell without even messing with all my notes tonight. Jesus comes, and as he gathers the people together, the Passover is near. There's three Passovers. The second one, Jesus would not go. He would stay up in Galilee. But the people are on their way to Jerusalem. And so they're traveling. And they probably heard that Jesus was nearby. And so they come to him. And they're sitting out there in the field. And he's sitting up and he's teaching them. Some say that he's over sitting in the Golan Heights on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. And those of you who are going with us next April, you'll get to see this again. But it's like an amphitheater. Jesus is sitting up there, and he's talking to the people because they're in a small grassy valley below him. And he's talking to them. The acoustics are incredible. So he's sharing with them. Well, it's getting toward sundown. It's getting late. And so Jesus, instead of panicking and saying anything, because we know what he can do, but he throws this out to his disciples because he wants to teach them something. Listen to what he says. When Jesus, verse 5, lifted up his eyes and he saw a great multitude come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, verse 6 is important. Again, it takes you back. He is the Son of Man, but he's also the Son of God. That's his divinity. Verse 6, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus knows what he was going to do. But like with us, he knows what he's going to do, and he knows what he can do, but he's trying to teach us those two things. We need to understand and know what he can do and what he wants to do. Verse 7, Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. That's a year's wages for a poor man. So that's not enough money. And one of his disciples, Andrew, now Andrew's feeding off of Philip. Listen to what he says, Simon Peter's brother, verse 9. There is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? 200 penny worth, a year's wages won't pay for the food that these people need so we can feed them, so each of them can have just a little bit. And we've got a lad here, and he's got five barley loaves, and he's got two small fishes, and these are about the size of a sardine. That doesn't sound real good anyway. I'm a sardine. And he says, but what is that? But what are they among so many? Jesus is going to teach them an incredible lesson that we sometimes forget. Okay? Philip is Mr. Logistics. He's the numbers guy. He's already counted up the crowd. He says, a year's salary won't pay for this. And then here comes old Andrew. Now, Andrew's got a lot going for him, but he says, well, there's an illustration. Lord Jesus, here's a kid. He's got five barley loaves. It's probably his lunch and two small sardines. That's not enough. What is all of this with so many people out here? Okay, now they've already exposed themselves faithless. They've forgotten who it is they're walking with. They've been with him now how long? Almost over a year. And they've seen him do some pretty miraculous things. And yet, here's an issue, and all that they've seen him do, I mean, the widow's son at Nain, he's been resurrected, Jairus' daughter, I mean, the Sermon on the Mount, the withered hand on the Sabbath day, they watched him do all of these things. Walking on the water, and Philip and Peter goes to him, all of those things, they've seen him do that, and still, they say, this is impossible. Nothing, you can't do anything about this. And this, nothing's going to take place here. Now go back to verse 5 just for a minute. Remember now, words mean something. Jesus then lifted up his eyes, and he saw a great company come unto him, and he saith unto Philip, now watch this, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? He didn't say, you guys. He said, we. Christ is going to be in the midst of whatever we're about, unless we forget that he's in the midst of what we're about. Verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would, or translated, as much as the people could eat. When we put whatever seems impossible in his hands, he will multiply, he will do whatever it takes to meet all of the needs. Bottom line is this, he will meet you at your point of need. If, and it's more than just recognizing him, you've got to let go of it and you've got to put it in his hands. Okay? Now, for some of us, red-blooded Americans, smart, accomplished things, done stuff, even got a trophy for this and that. What is our biggest issue? We don't want to let go of it. Because if I let go of it, that means I can't control it anymore. If I let go of it, what if he turns and does something with it I don't want him to do? And so you got all these things. Watch what happens. And when they, verse 12, and when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now, why 12 baskets? So that each of the disciples could have their very own basket, not to feed them, so they could have a reminder. They didn't have anything to begin with, but now they've got a reminder, a tangible reminder that God can supply. But you've got to get it out of our hands, and we've got to get it into his hands. Because I want you to look back up. He says in verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had done what? And when he had given thanks. So he's setting a priority for us. First of all, it's we, the Lord in us. Secondly, okay, it's not impossible. Don't let the problem overwhelm you. Look at the promise that he said he could handle these things, or you wouldn't be in the place that you're in right now. That's where they are. They're out there. He knew they were coming. Do you think 5,000 men and their family surprised Jesus on a sunny afternoon on the Golan Heights? No. He knew they were coming. John chapter 2, because he knows what's in man. Go back again to verse 6. He said this to prove to him, for he himself knew what he would do, what he could do. So now here's the Lord, and he says, all right, ask him to sit down. Follow directions. I could see Andrew and Philip looking at each other, rolling their eyes. He's going to embarrass himself. This is not going to work. It's not going to happen. You got 5 loaves. I know he's got 5. He's got 2. All these people out here. All these. Oh, man. Now, we would never do that because we're spiritual. Right? Yeah. Remember when I was on staff one time, Dr. Hudson asked us to do something, and I looked at the other staff guy, and I said, this is the dumbest thing we've ever done. And I mean, the Lord showed up and proved it. And so I remember Jim Law looked at me and says, what do you think? I said, that's the smartest preacher I've ever been around. I'm telling you, he's a pure genius, man. He said, he knows what God's up to. I said, I didn't say another word. I said, if he tells me to run through that wall, I'm going to take off running, and I just hope somebody opens the door before I get there. But it was incredible. So out of our hands, into his hand, He says, follow directions. Tell them to sit down. And it was almost like he wants them organized. And then as they're organized, he goes and everybody's filled to the max. And then he says, take them up. So now they've got 12 baskets. Each of them's got their own basket as a reminder that if we'll just do what he says to do. You remember the question in verse 5? Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? When your father owns cattle on 1,000 hills, don't worry about what something costs, because it's we, it's not me. And when God asks you to do something, he's not saying, all right, what are you going to do now? This is all on you. How are you going to figure this out? It's not you. It's you and him. It's we. That's the whole point. Jesus is trying to teach these men, if they'll just trust him and do what he asks them to do, that they're going to see some incredible things take place. Now, sadly, when you get down to verse 14, then those men, notice the separation, words mean something. Those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. And when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him king, he departed into a mountain by himself alone. Why is it that Jesus wouldn't commit himself to them? Because he didn't come to be the bread and fish king. He didn't come to be the miracle king. He came to save them from their sin. And what is the sin of the disciples? Faithlessness. They had no faith. What about these men? They were looking at what he could produce. They weren't looking at him. Now, let me ask you tonight, we're going to close with this. The Lord Jesus that you love and adore, painful question. You ready? Do you love him because he blesses you and gives you stuff, or you love him just because of who he is? What if he never blessed you ever again? Would you still love him? What if he never bailed you out of something? Would you still love him? Would you still serve him? Would you still honor him? What if he never answered another prayer? Would you still love him? See, we're so, you know, and our world has taught us this. If somebody does something good for you, you're supposed to do something good for them. Jesus has done something for us that just tops everything. He saved me from my sin. That ought to be enough. But when I start looking, well, they got a new car, and I don't have a new car, and they got a new, and don't look at Katrina's shoes tonight. That's the wildest looking things I've ever seen in my life. And I will not covet her boots. I'm good. Look like she ran through a paint factory. They're just different. I'm picking on her. But it's amazing. And you know, we do it so subtly. I gotta get me one of those. Yeah. I don't need anything. All I need is him. And all I need is his love. And I don't need to be in competition with anything. I don't need stuff. I don't need, you say, well, yeah, because you're getting old and you can't. No, it has nothing to do with it. I learned this a long time ago, even when I was in Bible college. Because, see, I lived 22 years of my life just every day full of guilt and misery and mad at myself, but I couldn't do anything about anything. Why? Because I was sin owned me. But since that day, listen, I am so grateful to know that, number one, God's not mad at me anymore. Number two, I know I'm going to heaven. And number three, I can have a fellowship with a God that I didn't know anything about, but all I deserved was his wrath, and now I get his love. I'm good. And I have the joy of telling others how they can have that, and I also have the joy of teaching others what they're missing out on. So don't miss this. We have to put it in his hands, let go of it, and then watch what he can do. 5 fish, 5 loaves of bread, and 2 little fishies fed 5,000 men and their families to the full. And the disciples had a reminder. This is what I can do. Little as much when what? When God is in it. Now we know that. We know that. But why is it so hard to live that? Because we want to be like Philip. Logistically, it's impossible. It's not going to happen. The dollars don't add up. Andrew, he had the gift of sarcasm, by the way. You picked up on that? Well, here's a kid with 5 loaves and 2 fish. What's that among so many? Like, you know, what are you going to do about it? And Jesus said, all right, give me the basket. I'll show what I can do with it. So the disciples next are going to get in a boat and they're going across the lake again, and they're sitting there looking at their baskets. I don't think they were saying a whole lot. Let it go. He got us again. He's not trying to make him look bad. He's not trying to embarrass him. He's trying to teach him why. He's only got 3 years. He's only got 2 years left now, and he's got to drive all these truths into them, because when he goes to the cross, what's going to happen? We know they're going to flee. But then they'll come back, because he's not done yet. Amen? He's not going to give up on you because you missed it, because you didn't get it. He's patiently going to continue to teach you. Amen? I, for one, am glad. Because sometimes my stubbornness gets right in the way. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight that we can look into your word and find truth. Truth that humbles us. It can humiliate us. It can strengthen us. It can grow us in our love and appreciation for you. Lord, it's not about a lunch. No, it's about a Savior who provides me with my basic needs. My basic needs. Dinner on the ground, literally. God, open our eyes. Help us to see all the things that you do for us, the little things. Help us to slow down. Lord, take an accounting. Lord, watch over this flock now. Overwhelm us with your peace and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.